Next week, I'll be talking with our film critic Stephen Schiff about the movies of the decade. But today, Stephen wraps up 1989 with his list of the year's 10 best.
Movie critics are fond of bemoaning the state of their beloved art, but I actually thought 1989 was a pretty terrific year. Its best picture was Paul Mazursky's suave, dizzying sex comedy, Enemies, a Love Story. Here's a post-Holocaust movie that manages to catalog the after-effects of state terrorism far more deftly than Sophie's Choice or The Unbearable Lightness of Being, and still retain its spinning wit. I don't think Enemies has any competition for number one, but I've put the nine runners-up in alphabetical order, which makes Batman next. I know, we're sick to death of it by now. Or rather, sick to death of bat planes and bat cars and bat marketing in general. But the movie itself is, I think, pretty wonderful. A brooding, gorgeously designed adventure that takes its comic book material and recasts it in the eerie Wagnerian tones of the contemporary avant-garde. Besides which, I thought it was a lot of fun. This is not something that can be said for the next film on my list, Brian De Palma's spectacularly well-made Casualties of War. This was a Vietnam movie that couldn't muster the moral ambiguity that might have made it a masterpiece, but it was still a model of fluid, thrilling storytelling. Another kind of model is my next selection, Driving Miss Daisy. The material from Alfred Uhry's off-Broadway play is safe and pokey stuff, and a lot more messagey than I usually like. But that's part of the reason I selected it. I think the 90s are going to be replete with schmaltzy, blatant message pictures, and Driving Miss Daisy is just the opposite. It's about as delicate, subtle, and beautifully acted as a socially conscious movie can be, and it never grabs you by the lapels. Then I liked Gus Van Sant's sly, shaggy drugstore cowboy, which seemed like the perfect antidote to the year's drug hysteria. It didn't celebrate drug users, far from it, but it did remind us, in its unsentimental, slightly bent way, that they're of the same species as the rest of us. The Fabulous Baker Boys, the next movie on my list, was itself a kind of drug, a megadose of moody, down-and-out romance, with lustrous performances by Michelle Pfeiffer and Jeff and Beau Bridges. Henry V, meanwhile, was the surprise of the year, a heroic, vastly entertaining, and beautifully played new version of Shakespeare, with Kenneth Branagh emerging not only as a great star, but as a director of superlative promise. Then there was High Hopes, Mike Leigh's lovably cockeyed portrait of three classes in Thatcherite England, not just a film of spontaneity and charm and wonderful acting, but also one that managed to examine grave economic and social questions without ever letting you feel the gravity. Roger and Me, the finest documentary of the year and one of the best of the 80s, did something similar, turning the devastation of Flint, Michigan into a hilarious cutaway portrait of American economic decline in the Reagan era. Its maker, Michael Moore, cheats a bit in his chronology, but no one caught in the grip of this deeply serious, deeply funny comedy will mind much. And finally, I wanted to include Cameron Crowe's teen movie Say Anything, in which Ione Skye and John Cusack acted out the kind of star-crossed young love that some may remember from The Graduate 2 decades ago. I think Say Anything is a finer movie, good enough, in fact, to remind us of several of the happier conclusions one could draw from 1989. That movie acting is better than ever. That new directorial talents keep emerging where we least expect them. And finally, that even the weariest subjects can, when properly cultivated, still bear cinematic fruit.